Father God, we thank you for Pam. We thank you for the ministry that has taken place between Rob and Pam in this body since the beginning. And I pray for both of them that you would encourage them and grant them your peace. So we pray for Pam now as she ministers to us. We ask you to grant her your peace and your love. Thank you that you really do care for Pam in every aspect of her life. And we thank you that you are going to use her today to minister to us. Grant her your peace, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Harvey. We're in our series called Unshakable, Facing the Giants. And so far we've looked at postmodernism, which is hitting all of us and hits those of us who are older a little bit harder, I think. And we've looked at how truth is portrayed. We've looked at the fact that so much truth is relevant these days, not absolute. And we've looked at the big giant of fear, and we've looked at stress, and we've looked at busyness. And we've looked at them all in the light of what God's word has to say about them, and how to face them, and how to overcome them, as we focus on who God is. And that's the important thing. So maybe you're wondering about what today's topic will be. What giant are we going to look at today, and how are we going to face this giant and overcome? Well, first of all, I want to ask you all a question. How many of you, just looking out over the body, how many of you are under the age of 25? Anyone? Two. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that the topic was going to be relevant. I'm going to talk about aging. Why 25? Well, might surprise you to know that the first signs of aging start on the surface of your skin at age 25. So are you all with me? It's not just for us oldies, this message. But probably from about age 40, one begins to experience the signs of aging. Color of your hair, a few things like that start happening. Ladies start dyeing their hair and all of that. Okay, so probably from about the age of 40. But when you turn 50, your contemporaries will all tell you life begins at 50. And then they'll tell you that life begins at 60. But no one's told me yet that life begins at 70. When I was in my 30s, I thought that 60 was very old. Now that I'm 70, I think 90 is very old. So it's all relative to how old you are. But did you know that 60 was set as the age for when pension begins? Because back in the day, very few people actually reached the age of 60. So we're all living longer. And especially in the Western world. And it's due to the advances of medical science. And medical science keeping us alive, actually, sometimes against our will. But it's happening. And they're finding treatment for heart disease in particular, and for almost every other disease under the sun, or at least to manage them well. So we're all living longer. Janet and I have just done a course, a free online course through the University of Tasmania called Understanding Dementia. It was not something I knew very much about at all. But we looked at the brain, we looked at the diseases that cause dementia, and we looked at the person who suffers from dementia. And in this course, it was outstanding, and any of you can do it, it's free. That was why I did it. And haven't studied for a long time like that. But it was very interesting. And do you know that there are 50 million people in this world who've got dementia right now? That's an up-to-date stat, September 2019. And they estimate that that number will triple by the year 2050 because we're living longer. And so universities are getting to put some thought into it. And University of Tasmania is at the cutting edge of it. They actually offer a degree in dementia because of the issue that is becoming. Now, you hope everybody will remember what to write for the exams. Yes. But in case you don't know, I just want to assure you that dementia is not a normal part of aging, just in case you were wondering that question. Okay, so how does God view aging and mortality? How should we look at it through the lens of God's word? Solomon says in Ephesians chapter 3, he says, to everything there is a season and a purpose for everything under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. And he goes on to describe many scenarios in between that. So whether you're 25 and getting married, or 35 and raising a family, or 45 maybe at the peak of your business career, or maybe in midlife crisis, or 55 and starting to see your children disappearing, to study far away, maybe set up their own lives and families, far away from where you are, and you've got that empty nest syndrome. Or maybe you're 65 and you're enjoying grandchildren. Or maybe you're retiring or retired or unable to retire, actually, for most of us these days. Maybe you're 75 and you're visiting specialists. Or maybe you're 85 and you're finding yourself in a world that moves far too fast for you. But whether we, no matter what age we are, you and I are aging. And we have absolutely no control over that process, as you'll discover as you get older, for those of you who are very young. And so I've got two pictures I want Simon to pick up just to show you this particular illustration. Is it working, Simon? Not working. Please continue to try because we need the scriptures up. Anyway, the picture was this latest technology that you've got where you can put a young face and suddenly make it old. That was what I put of our son, Richard, that our other son, James, sent us. Shows you how aging can actually happen over the years. And we never think when we're 30 that we're going to be 60, ever. I didn't. Okay, but the good news is that our God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the God that you and I come to know when we get saved, and for me that was when I was 15, is the same God who is still loving and caring for us today, as he has done throughout our lives and will continue to do until we pass into his presence. And so the name that he gave to Moses as his name was I Am. And I find those two words very comforting. I Am is God's name. He's the God who is, who was, and who is to come. And I still remember when I was at youth group, and I think I was about age 17, there was another chap who was age 17 in the youth group, and he gave a little talk on I Am. I remember how comforting that was at the time when I was 17. And it's still comforting to me to know that God's name is I Am. He is ever present. And so take heart. Here comes some encouragement from his word. Simon, you still can't get it right. You're telling me. Thank you. Okay, that's right. If you bring it up and you press slide presentation, it should come up on the virtual screen. Says me talking to the tech buff. Thanks. Okay. A little bit further. Okay. So here's the first scripture of encouragement from God's word, from Isaiah 46, verse 3 to 4. It says, listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. Until your hair is white with age, I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Such a wonderful scripture. Our daughter Ali actually sent that to me last week. And I was chatting to somebody in the church who was elderly. And because they were wanting to talk to me. And I actually said, I'm just looking. My daughter just sent me something. I'm just looking it up. It was after the service. And I read it. And she said, that was for me. It was so special. I will be your God throughout your lifetime. And in Philippians 1, Paul speaks there about the work that God has started in us, he will bring to completion. And I find that very comforting. And then Psalm 92 is one of our key scripture this morning, verse 12 to 14. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. And this this particular key word here is the word godly. And Jesus echoed these words in John chapter 15 when he said, talked about abiding in Christ, that our, and that we will produce fruit that remains. And the key word here is godly. The promise is to the godly person, that promise there in verse 14. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. The promise is to the godly. So what is godliness? Godliness is something that's internal. It's intrinsic, said one writer. It's not the dew on the leaves, it's the sap in the root. It's intrinsic. He also said, godliness is supernatural. You can't make yourself godly any more than you can create yourself. And lastly, godliness has an extensive outworking in your life. So it's intrinsic, but it will work itself out. It will work itself out in your understanding. It will work itself out in your desires. It will work itself out in your will, making it pliable. It will work itself out in your life with exemplariness. But it's not the dew on the leaves. It's the sap in the root. But it will work itself out. And so godliness is God's work in you, basically. And so ask him to do his work in you, no matter how old you are. And you'll have a store of godliness building up in your heart. The promise of Psalm 92 is for you and me to actually appropriate. And so when we receive Jesus, we actually become partakers of God's divine nature. It says in 1 Peter 2, verses 3 to 4, I read this to you, by his divine power, not ours, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So godliness is key to being vital and green in old age. And here's another very encouraging scripture. From Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, one we probably know quite well. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Sometimes that trusting is holding on with everything you've got to God in times of difficulty. The times that Jesus spoke about, in this world you'll have trouble. We live in a broken world and an aging world, okay? But take heart, says Jesus, I've overcome the world. We need to trust him. And then Psalm 71, verses 17 to 18, has got a wonderful part to it. Listen to this. Oh God, you've taught me from my earliest childhood, and I constantly tell others about you and the wonderful things you do. Now that I'm old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all who come after me. What a purpose for those of us who are older. Not just to share with each other, but to share to the next generation the things that God has shown us about himself. So the older you are, the longer you've walked with God, the more you have to share about him and about his ways and about his word and your experience of him. And as older people, it's wonderful to share together the things that God has done. And in the book of Joshua, there's recorded there a conversation that Caleb, remember Joshua and Caleb were the two spies who went into Canaan? Do you remember that? And now he's old and he's in Canaan and he's talking to Joshua and he says to Joshua, they have a little conversation, and Caleb says to him, now as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he promised for all these 45 years since Moses made this promise, even while Israel wandered in the wilderness. What promise was that? It was that Caleb, and Joshua as well, but Caleb in this case, and his descendants would walk in Canaan, because they wholeheartedly followed the Lord. That was the reason. And there they were in Canaan with their descendants. Caleb and Joshua must have been the oldest people to walk in Canaan, because all the others died in the wilderness. And so there they were. And then he says to Joshua, today I'm 85 years old. And Joshua, do you know he lived to be 110? But here's the thing. Do you know that he was active in leadership until he died? The leader of the country. I mean, that's quite amazing. God did it. It was God. And then here's another wonderful scripture, Psalm 128, verses 5 to 6. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. And that is one of the blessings of being older. You see your children's children. You put the picture up, please, Simon. I just want to say that that is one of the greatest blessings of our lives, Rob and I, at the moment. We've actually got 10. One wasn't born there yet. That was taken last year. But there they are. And to see them grow up and to see them interact with each other, such a great blessing grandchildren are. And anyone who has grandchildren will tell you that. You don't have all the rigors of children. You have grandchildren. Children are a blessing, it says in Psalm 127. And blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. But grandchildren are a great blessing. There they are. So now what are some of the challenges of aging? I've got three that I'm going to talk about. And the first one is probably quite a big one for a lot of people in our world, and that's loneliness. And I just want to talk about that because sometimes we don't think about that or it's a blind spot. So I heard a stat on the TV. Rob was watching a program. I was, I think, in the kitchen. And I heard them say this, that two-thirds of people over 65 in the UK eat their meals on their own. That's a huge percentage of people. And I don't think we realize that sometimes when we have our meals and it's rowdy and it's raucous and, you know, and eat your vegetables and all the rest of it. You know, there comes a time when you might be sitting on your own eating your meal in silence, or maybe the radio's on. Your spouse might have passed away. Family might be the other side of the world, which is very, very common today. We're finding that a lot. I bump into people. There was a man the other day who's about 2 months ago lost his wife. We were Ladsworth parents together. And I bumped into him in the spa and chatted to him. And I said to him, you know, are your kids around? He said, no, they're the other side of the world. So sad. So sad. I really felt for him. And you see, what that means is you can have Skype and you can have all these things, but you know what it does mean? It means no physical touch. And that's hectic. It's actually hectic. We go to the Parkinson support group meeting in Howick, together with Ed and Barbara, and there's some lovely people there, wonderful people there, and Rob always, I'm right there with him, likes to give some of the ladies a kiss. And there's one lady who lost her husband many, many years ago, a lovely Christian lady, and he always gives her a kiss. And she said to him the other day, it's the only kiss I get a month. Family the other side of the world. Such a super person. So there it is. These are just some of the things we need to be aware of. Maybe there's no one to take them anywhere. Take an older person anywhere. Maybe they can't drive anymore. Do you know what a loss of independence that is when you can't drive anymore? Sometimes you're a danger on the roads when you get to be old. There was a lady in our church who had a friend. And this lady was half blind. And she was driving still. And Estelle said to her, how can you still drive? How do you know what to do? She says, no, she just follows the car in front of her. Those people need to be off the road. And sometimes there's just no one to tell your stories to. And, you know, we need to share and engage in conversation with others. We weren't meant to live on our own. And then the second thing that I want to just highlight is ill health. Because we're all living longer and being kept alive, as I said. And again, often that is accompanied by loneliness. And often that is accompanied by fear. And often by all these feelings of anxiety and things like that. So ill health often gives you the feeling and the knowledge of feeling left out. Or left behind. It can be very real. Sometimes there's a lack of purpose. Because every day is the same. You can't do what you used to do anymore when you're sick. Sometimes for some people who are bedridden, you're surrounded by the same four walls every single day. When everybody else is surrounded by the world, you are surrounded by four walls. And we need to understand that about older people who are bedridden. Sometimes there's depression accompanying this. Sometimes there's loss of personal dignity. Philip Yancey, in his book, Where is God When It Hurts, he writes this, and I quote, "There are four frontiers where every suffering person," and he's writing in the context particularly of pain and really, you know, chronic illness. "There are four frontiers where every suffering person will do battle. The frontiers of fear, helplessness, meaning, and hope. And that our response to suffering depends largely on the outcome of our struggle in those frontiers." Then he writes that fear is a universal primal response to suffering. So let's remember that about people who are ill. And then sometimes, obviously, for many people, there's a lack of resources for various reasons. It might be that you've just never earned enough, or it might be that you haven't saved enough, or it might be that inflation has hit you. When Rob and I started working, there was no such thing as inflation except blowing up a balloon. That was the only kind of inflation there was. Inflation was unknown at that stage. You'd be surprised to know what we earned back in the day, some of us. Okay, so sometimes there's a lack of resources. And you often can't earn a living anymore. There's no avenue for you to do that. And if you've been used to earning a living your whole life, and now all of a sudden you can't just because you're old, it can be devastating. And sometimes, and obviously accompanied by anxiety, and where will you live and what will you do? And even guilt at the fact that you can't provide anymore. Maybe you end up living way below the standard that you were used to, and maybe there's no money to visit your family, wherever they live. So those are just some of the scenarios I want to paint to you, because I never thought about those things when I was 30, ever. And I think we need to be aware of those things. But there are solutions. There's good news as well. And besides adequate health care, which in our day and age, I think especially in this country, is very important, I fully believe that community is the answer, God's designed answer, to help all of us at any age, but particularly at the two ends of the spectrum. Little children and the elderly. Both need community. Two types of community, the family and the church, that I want to look at. So the Bible has a lot to say about raising your children. But it also says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. And I just want to say up front here that there's no formula for how you care for your elderly parents. I did a seminar some years ago about this and did a lot of research into it. It's not always the best idea to have your parents living with you, because it's not often the best place of care for them. For Rob's dad and mom, his dad passed away when he was still in his own home with his wife. But when she was widowed and wasn't well, she couldn't be cared for at home. She had to go to a place where people could care for her properly all day and meet her health needs particularly as well. And I think of Doug's mom was the same, really struggling, even though she was younger than I am. And she passed away this year. But she was. It was not possible for Doug and Heather to care for her, even if they wanted to. And for my mom, she stayed with us. My dad passed away when he was 63. He was still working. But my mom passed away when she was 87. And she was absolutely active right up till the end. The last 4 days she spent in ICU. But there she was, active as anything. And it was easy to look after her. But it's not the solution for everybody. And I've had people come to me and say, I'm feeling so guilty, I can't look after my mom and dad. I say, maybe it's not God's will that you'd actually do that in your home. But I do feel that there's one thing that we have to make sure that they're adequately cared for relationally, somehow. Not just medically. Not just financially, although that can be a huge burden sometimes, but it's an important thing, because the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Some young people do not care about the quality of life their parents have at all, even though their parents might have sacrificed everything to educate them, to set them on their feet, to launch them into life. And I believe there is a responsibility later on the other way around, if it's needed. But to care for them relationally is so very important. So as far as it's possible, by you as their children, very, very, there's nothing can replace family. And I just wanted to underline that. So ensure that from your side, as far as it's possible with you, ensure that there is warm relationship. No unforgiveness. No lack of reconciliation, even if they're very difficult. Your parents. Can happen. People when they're elderly can get very difficult. But it doesn't stop us. You don't turn your back on them then. You care for them relationally. Make sure they're cared for. And that you spend adequate time with them as far as is possible. Thank you, Simon. You can put up that pic. There's a picture of three generations together. So important that happens. We can't get those years back once our loved ones have gone. There were a couple of very difficult funerals that Rob once had to take of people. They weren't in our church, the wider family at all. But where there was no forgiveness, there was unforgiveness at the funeral. There were rifts in the family at the funeral. They were very difficult to take. Very difficult funerals to take. So let's not ever let that happen in our families as far as it is possible. Even with siblings. Be reconciled to siblings if you aren't. As far as is possible from your side. And if it comes to caring for difficult elderly parents, know this, that God can do a deep work in our hearts as we care for difficult elderly parents. It's not just them that need it. We sometimes need that death to self as well. And sometimes tough decisions need to be made. And let's make them with godly wisdom and not human frustration. And then there's the community of the church. And this is what I really want us to catch today. Somebody once said that the health of a church is measured by how you care, the church cares for its children and its elderly. And that's quite an important statement that. We heard that long ago and we've really always had that in mind. So the church. Philip Yancey says that the answer to where is God when it hurts is, where is the church when it hurts? And that applies across all of life, but particularly in this case, talking about elderly people, they can be hurting. I've mentioned some of the ways. In pain, literally maybe, or suffering in their body in some way, or lonely, or sad, or maybe financially as well. And so the church needs to be available. The church needs to be present. The church needs to engage in conversation. The church needs to visit and listen and hug. And the church needs to be informed. And the church is not just the pastor, if there is one. It's not just the leadership. It's not just one member. Well, Auntie so-and-so is looking after that person. No, the church, we're a body. We're many members. And so never think that you can't care for the older people in the church. You can. Children can make cards. I remember when Rob was so ill, before he was diagnosed and literally bound to the home. Couldn't get out much at all. Hardly ever saw anyone. But I remember one young boy at that time in the church, he was about 10, I think. And he drew two pictures for Rob of his horse. And gave them to me and I took them home to Rob. Meant so much to Rob, he put them up next to his bed. And it was such a loving and caring thing to do. Made him feel he wasn't alone. And so that was very special. Or children can pick a flower. Or help you bake a cake. Or really get involved. Any one of us can WhatsApp or phone. Any one of us. Some of us will have the time to visit or lift or, the other thing I had, cook a meal, and the list goes on. We are the body of Christ. And we are then the arms and the arms that hug, the legs that visit, the ears that hear, that listen, the voice that speaks, and the smile. An intentional smile will go a long way. It says, I see you. It doesn't have to just be within the bounds of the church. See what a smile does to an elderly person in the shops, for example. Just smile. You don't even have to know them or talk to them or anything else. Just smile. It says, I see you. And sometimes they feel they're just left out and forgotten and no one ever cares. So let's smile. So being a community together, I really do believe, is the answer to loneliness. And some years ago, Rob and I were privileged to go and visit our daughter when she was in the UK doing a gap year. We stayed with some friends of ours in North London. And they went to the Methodist church there. And some dear Lord so-and-so, whoever he was, donated this massive piece of real estate to the church. And you know how they used it? On the church property, they built an old age home. I thought that was absolutely amazing. And I just, at the end, when we were all having tea afterwards, I noticed somebody just wheeling an elderly person in a wheelchair back to where they lived. Do you know what it's like to be not be able to go to church anymore? That's quite hectic. Not to be able to go to church when it's been your habit for years and it's been your weekly consolation and rallying point and all the rest of it, and then you can't go to church anymore. That was a really wonderful thing that I've never forgotten that. And so older church members, this community thing goes both ways. If you can, offer to babysit. The younger people would really appreciate that. Invite younger people to tea. Make new friends in the community that you're around during the day. Maybe you're in a support group. Make friends there. Reach out. Every Tuesday and Thursday is Pensioners Day at the quarry. I discovered that quite by accident once when somebody suddenly gave me a discount. And I said, why have I got a discount? They said, well, you're a pensioner. I said, no, I'm not yet. This was a long, long time ago. And so I couldn't resist it. At the end, I said to her, how old do you have to be a pensioner? And she was in a spot. But there it was. They have tea there. Why do they sit there and have tea? Because they're lonely. And even if we're not lonely, even if we have a spouse at home and a lead busy active lives, if we're not working, why not think about going to sit there and having a cup of tea? I remember my mother. She was one of the oldest people in the church at one point, and we had a silver threads group. She said, I don't want to be with all those old people. I said, but you're one of them. One of the oldest. So sometimes we have that mindset and we don't want to identify. But let it be a mission and an outreach to chat and talk. People need to tell their stories. And keep active for as long as possible, physically and mentally. Crosswords, Sudokus, jigsaws. Get your mind active and get your body moving. And above all, underline, don't isolate yourself. So important not to. And that's your responsibility to a large extent sometimes. And then we just need to talk about this death. Need to touch on it. I'm not going to go into it in any depth, but death is a part of life and it's coming to all of us and it can be faced with faith. If we're Christians, it can actually be a friend ushering us into the presence of God forever. What happens to us when we die? People sometimes ask me that question because they don't actually know. Our bodies die, but our spirit and our soul lives forever. And it says in Philippians 3, verse 21, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into his glorious bodies like his own. So there's a resurrection body coming down the line for each of us. And it won't have any pain, and it won't be suffering in any way. It won't be diseased. It won't be old either, I don't think. It will be lifelike, lively, like Jesus' was. And I just wanted to share a testimony here about my own mum. I mentioned that she was in ICU for the last 4 days of her life at St. Anne's, and she had heart failure. And on the last night before she passed away, she was lying there in her bed in ICU, and we were all visiting her. And she said, Pam, am I going? And I said, Mom, you know, I don't know. So she said, what will you do if I don't? So I said, well, we'll make a plan, and we need to. But the next morning, At about 6, we phoned ICU, and they said, no, she's all right. And at 6:30, they phoned, and they said, come quickly. And we charged down there. And when we got into the ward, and this, I'm saying this because so it's not strange to you when it might happen to you. When we got down there, we walked into the ward, and the curtains were around her bed. And the sister called us, and she said, your mom's just slipped away. And so I said, well, can we see her? So she said, yes. I'd never seen a dead person before, ever. And we walked in, and there she was. Touched her, she was still warm. And I had this most incredible impression that hit me then. My mother was not there. It was just her body, just her body. She wasn't there. She was with the Lord. And as Rob pointed out, she went to be with the Lord the same time that she had a quiet time every morning. Isn't that special? So, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And then lastly, I just want to share a challenge. Rob and I have been reading Michael Cassidy's latest book. Have any of you read it or are reading it? It is the most amazing book. It's all, it's his life story, all his life and memoirs. And it's called Footprints in the African Sand. And when he was studying, after he finished at Cambridge, when he was studying in America at Fuller Seminary, studying theology, he was 25 and they had to do a mission trip. And so he decided to come back to South Africa and do a mission to Maritzburg, which he then came to do with a team. And he stopped off at the Durban City Hall and he spoke to 3,000 young people. Then he came up to Maritzburg and he had packed meetings in the Pietermaritzburg City Hall for a week. And there were many conversions. But when he got back to Fuller, because this was in his university vacation, when he got back to Fuller, he had to give a report back on the mission, and which he did. And afterwards, he met a lecturer in the corridor. And this is what the lecturer said to him, and these are the lecturer's words, not mine. He said, Michael, I don't give a damn what you are at 25. I want to know what you'll be at 45. And I thought that was incredible. He might as well have said 83, because that's how old Michael is today. And 57 years ago, he walked on a desolate beach off the coast of Liberia, in the West African Bulge there. He walked on the beach and he put 50 footprints in the sand. And he said, Lord, I'm asking you for 50 years of ministry to the cities of Africa. And God has given him 57 years so far. And he's still going as strong as he can, despite ill health. He's going as strong as he can. It is a most amazing journey to read about. And it's a must read, I believe, for every single South African, especially if you're a Christian, to read this book. Rob and I believe that he, well, we secretly at any rate, have given him the Nobel Peace Prize for what he did in our country. He did as much in a different way as Nelson Mandela and F.W. de Klerk. Believe me, when you read that story and you hear the courage that he exhibited in those days, before apartheid was abolished, unbelievable. The reconciliation jobs and things that he did. It was his life's ministry and it's what he... But the Lord prepared him right back from when he was a child in Lesotho for that. And if you read the book, you'll see it. It's unbelievable. But there's a story. But your story and my story is still being written. And so the important thing here, which is what I want to end with, it's all about finishing well. That's what it's about. And so Simon's going to put a verse up on the screen. And I wonder if we could all stand and recite this verse together, because I think it's important for us to declare what we believe. Simon, thank you. The picture. Thanks. Okay, let's say this together slowly. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Okay, let's sit down. I want to do something here. I haven't told anybody about this, but I want to create an indelible memory for all of us. Would you like an indelible memory? Okay. Could I call everybody who's over the age of 65 to come up, please, and help me with something? Barbara, if you'd like to sit, that's fine. If you'd like to come, that's also fine. Whatever you choose. But if everybody over the age of 65 could please come up. It's half the church, looks like. Rob, can you come and stand next to me here, please? Come close, everybody. Where's Harvey? Come close next to Rob, please. Are they both working, Simon?
Oh God, all ages past, hope for years to come. Help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home.
Just before you all disappear, Anne, Ed, what I want to say is this is an example of God's faithfulness. Erwin, how old were you when you came to know
the Lord? 8.
Very young. Very young.
16.
16. But, no, we were much older.
About 35.
Yeah, about 30. 15.
19.
16.
25. Sadly, quite late in life. Probably in my 40s.
25?
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
When did you first know the Lord?
Oh, about 7.
Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that when every single person here reaches the age of all of us here, that they will remember this point, that you are faithful and you will be faithful ongoing. So I pray, Lord, for all of us, that each one of us would finish well in Jesus' name. Amen.
I always say to the Connect groups, and I'm in these young guys, know it. It's one of my greatest regrets, young guys, that I only met Christ later in life and I'm still playing catch up. And there's a lot of catch up, and I can't run fast enough at my age. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil.